Tactic number three would be offer free gifts and bonuses. I've never sold anything that didn't sell better after offering some kind of free bonuses and gifts. I mean, people, we're all greedy, let's face it. We're all greedy.
Yep.
We all want a good deal. And free, F-R-E-E, is the most powerful word in the English language.
And does it start then right from the very, very beginning? If you even if you're offering a $10 ebook, you still add
absolutely
some sort of bonus.
What I like to do is I want to build up the value to about 5 to 10 times the cost of the investment. So if you're selling something for $10, I mean if you can build up the value to $50, I mean you'll definitely make the sales process much easier. It's just much easier.
Then it almost becomes a no-brainer for people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like you spend. I mean, recently, I just purchased a marketing home study course from a marketer. I get all these marketing pieces all the time, and I have more marketing books than I can study, right?
Yeah.
But I get this marketing piece from this particular marketer, and it's a good piece. It's one hell of a piece.
Uh-huh.
I look at it. Okay, it's kind of good. I'm intrigued and pretty good, and then okay, but if you order right now, you get this bonus and this bonus and this bonus. Now the package is only $300.
Okay,
but I get about $3,000 worth of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And guess what I do next? Faxing the order form.
Exactly. Out comes the credit card.
Yeah, here comes my credit card, right?
Right.
I'm a marketer myself, but I fall for this kind of stuff.
So what really clinched the whole deal was the fact, not necessarily the actual product, but the fact that you're getting so much value and so much extra added bits and bytes that it just puts you right over the limit and says, okay, well, I've got to have it just simply because I get all this free stuff.
And let me ask you, Terry, do you care if your customer buy from you if they buy based because of the bonus or because of the main product?
No, of course not.
Right? A sale is just a sale.
Yeah.
If they wanted bonuses, go ahead. I mean, just give me your credit card number. I mean, whatever you want.
Right.
And people buy different things for different reasons. I mean, going back to the example, the reason I buy the package is because one of the bonuses is a SWEF file. It's about a 200-page thick SWEF file.
Right.
That the marketer has used. That's the only thing I want.
And it's actually one of the bonuses.
Yeah, it's actually just, I just want to get their bonuses.
So you actually bought a product that you don't even actually anticipate they're going to use, but you got it because there's a bonus. Okay, yeah.
And that guy is so smart. He's saying the bonuses, you can only get the bonuses from this particular offer. So you cannot buy separately.
Right.
And you cannot buy in the future. You have to buy with this offer, this particular offer.
So it's very much a time limited, do it now or don't
do
it at all.
I doubt it is. It's more like a marketing strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I fall for it.
Yeah, but it's always that uncertainty because it's possible that the person is telling the truth.
Yeah, it's a sense of urgency. You have to have sense of urgency in your marketing, in your sales pitch. Because people procrastinate. We all procrastinate.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to have something to entice them. This is his what our listeners should do. Look at your marketing piece and look at it and say, does it answer the question, what's in it for me?
Okay.
Does it answer the question, what's new?
Okay.
Does it answer the question, why are you bugging me?
Right.
Does it answer the question, why should I act right now?
Okay.
And last question is, why should I even believe what you say?
Right.
Okay. If your marketing piece handles all these objections, then you got a pretty good piece there.
Beautiful. So you've got a very solid piece of marketing that you're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
What's another strategy? We're still on the line of I have a business.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm off track here. We are on number four, I believe.
Yep.
Number four. Use testimonials. Use testimonials in your promotion. Okay.
Write in your sales letter and everything.
Write in your sales letters and everything.
Okay.
What other people say about you is infinitely more powerful than what you can say about yourself.
How detailed do you get? Like, I've seen some testimonials that are just a first name and a city type thing. Or do you actually say,
I am
Terry Telford, Aschim, Norway, phone number?
Great question, Terry. you want to get as detailed as possible. And here's why. Uh-huh. If you only have, let's say, a testimonial with just the initial.
Yep.
Okay. TT.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, your prospect might be thinking, I mean, this guy just make it up. This guy just make up a testimonial.
Right.
Now,
yep.
But if you have a full name, the company name, or, you know, even the address, even the email, even the website, you see the difference? It's
yep.
a huge difference. So you want, you want to have as much as be as detailed as possible. And you mean, I always tell people, you can never have too many testimonials.
Okay.
Let me give you an example.
Yep.
I think recently I stumbled across a website. Is they're selling like weight loss products and stuff. Start to lose weight, how to look good, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now this particular website, they show you before and after pictures.
Okay, yeah.
Before and after pictures. Now, you might be thinking, well, now you look at it, you don't believe it if they don't have one or two.
Yeah.
You don't believe it if they have 10. Now, they have 125. That's pretty damn hard not to believe that.
Right, yeah, so it adds, the more testimonials you have, the more credibility it's adding.
Now, on a website, you don't have to show it all on one page.
That's right.
Okay, I mean, there's a marketer, very famous internet marketer, Marlon Sanders.
Yep.
Okay, I think you heard a guy. He's selling an ebook called Amazing Formula.
Yep.
Now, what Marlon did is, he showed about, I think, 10 testimonials on his website.
Uh-huh.
But he has an additional 100 pages of the testimonials that you can click if you want to read it.
Right.
I mean, nobody will read the 100 pages of testimonials, at least I won't.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, this guy's got 100 testimonials, 100 pages, not 100, 100 pages
yeah.
of the testimonials for his ebook. It's got to be good. It is good. It is a good book. I'm not saying it's a great book.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So testimonials, just use it. I mean, some people don't even collect them. It's ridiculous. Some people don't even collect them.
How would you go about collecting them?
Ah, good question. Here's what you do. Whenever you go the extra mile, whenever you just perform your product and services or whatever,
uh-huh.
Just ask them. What I do is, I'll give you an example. Say someone sends me an email and stuff and say, well, Dan, I enjoy your newsletter, I enjoy your products, I like your stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I just say, well, thank you. Do you mind to write me a testimonial so I can put this on my website?
Right.
And very often they say, sure. Because they're happy at that moment. You want to get them while they're hot.
Right.
That's what I do. If I go back and ask them in 3-4 months, you know, they're not as eager, they're
right.
not as hot. So you want to get them whether when you go the extra mile or when you just sell them when you just made a sale, then ask for the testimonial.
So
you want your testimonial to be specific, by the way. Want your testimonial to be specific.
To
products or services, you know, instead of saying Terry is a great guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Using Terry's techniques and the benefits of his membership site, I have made $5,931.32 in 27 days.
Right, very specific.
Very specific.
Very detailed.
Very specific. So that's using testimonials, that's tactic number four. Tactic number five would be offer a money-back guarantee. Offer a money-back guarantee.
Okay.
Now, if currently you don't have a money-back guarantee for your product or services, I urge you to test it. I mean, I almost guarantee you, you'll find your sales will dramatically increase. I mean, the biggest problem is people are very skeptical nowadays.
Yeah.
We've all been burned so many times. For example, for my I have a package. It's called $1 Million Covering Secrets.
Yeah.
Now, for that particular package, I offer a 1-year money back guarantee, plus $100 out of my pocket guarantee. Okay, that means they can order the package, take 1 year, not 30 days, not 60 days, 1 year, to decide if they want to keep it, and if they don't like it, they'll think it's at least worth 10 times what they pay. I'll personally refund their money, plus I'll pay them $100 out of my pocket just to say thank you for giving it a try. Now,
wow,
that tells you how a lot about how much confidence I have for what I sell, right?
Exactly.
So the question for our listeners is, how much confidence do you have for what you sell? Can you offer a 30-day money-back guarantee? Can you offer a 90-day money-back guarantee? How about a lifetime money-back guarantee? Or maybe a... Now, all these guarantees, they better be unconditional. I mean, forget about those conditional guarantee. I mean, it's crap.
Yep.
Okay. Unconditional 90-day. Or even maybe we fund, you know, maybe a better-than-risk-free guarantee. So if they don't like it, they can refund it and they can still keep the bonuses.
Yep.
Okay, that kind of stuff. Now I know you might be thinking, or our listeners might be thinking, well, Dan, what if people took advantage of me and rip me off?
That was my next question. How much or what percentage of people do you actually get taking you up in the offer say, no, you know, I want my $100?
So far, I've never had any.
And how many packages have you sold?
I've sold so far about 80 of them.
Okay.
Okay, but you know what? You know why there isn't any refund?
No.
Because when they get the package, I throw in a couple of other secret bonuses just to surprise the heck out of them.
So they don't actually know they're going to get it before they get the package, right?
So they, when they get a package, I mean, it's a huge box. There is a huge box.
Uh-huh.
It's like 19 tapes and two huge binders. We're talking about a big box, right? So when they open the box, it's like, ooh, Christmas. I like it. Right? It's a big package. You're getting a ton of stuff. But when they just dig through the package, oh, I get this too, and I get this, and I get this, and then they get a letter from me, it's all surprise bonuses.
So it's a very serious over-delivering.
Way over-deliver.
So it's basically, there would be almost no way, unless somebody just wanted to take advantage of you and get $100.
And you know what? I know it will happen. But so what? Let's say I'm selling an item for $50.
Yep.
Okay. And I offer a money-back guarantee.
Huh?
Let's say because of the money-back guarantee, 100 additional people order from me.
Yep.
Okay, so 100 orders times $50, $5,000.
Yep.
Now, let's say 5 people refund my stuff, and I lose $250.
Yep.
Okay. Now, would you spend an additional $250 to get $5,000 in extra in sales?
Exactly. Again, another no-brainer.
I mean, it's all math. I mean, I sell 80 package. Now, because the package I sell for $797 is a high-end package.
Yep.
I mean, if I only offer a 90-day money-back guarantee, I doubt that many people would buy from me, seriously. I doubt, I mean, because it is, I mean, 90-day, people kind of, I don't know, 90-day, is this good, it's $800, right?
Yep.
But this guy's saying, even in my sales copy, I said, even you refund it, you send it back to me on the 364th day, I'll still refund your money.
So this
I'll still refund your money.
This is, the guarantee is actually the clincher that's really pulling in the sales.
Yeah, yeah. And if you read the sales letter, you'll see I spend, it's about 10 paragraphs in the guarantee. I mean,
Just
on the guarantee. You want to really elaborate on it.
Yeah.
You want to be, like I said, you want to be very specific. Do not say, you know, satisfaction guarantee. I mean, whenever I hear that, I just want to choke the guy, right? What the heck is satisfaction guarantee?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, it's so vague. How do I know I'm satisfied?
Yeah,
you know. But if you say, here's just an example: $5,000 in your pocket within the 90 days, or out, you can refund the package. You know, you want to be very specific. Or maybe you can promise. Let's say your website is teaching people how to start an internet business or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You can show them, you say, okay, here's the guarantee. I'll guarantee you within 30 days, you'll get your website, you'll get your merchant account, everything up and running step by step. We do it all for you. If not, I'll give you your money back.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you want to be specific. Elaborate on it. Expand on it.
Now, I've personally never seen a 10-paragraph guarantee. Can you give us the website address so that we can actually go and see what all you've put into that guarantee?
It's www.greatest.com. GREATEST copywriters this with an S or without an S, you still go there.
Can you spell copywriters? Because that's a commonly misspelled word.
copywriters.com. So it's copywriters.com.
Okay, super.
Okay.
And that's where we'll see your 10 paragraphs.
Even, I mean, even if they're not buying anything, just go there and look at a copy. One hell of a copy.
Okay, super, yeah. So then we add that to our own personal swipe file.
Yeah, print it out. Go ahead.
Beautiful.
You want one more? I'll give
one,
you one more.
One more, yes, please.
A quick one. Raise your price. Just raise your price. Most people tend to wait too long to raise their price. You know, when I first started writing sales letters and ads for people, I charged, I think, at that time, it was like two grand per sales letters, which is very low, very low.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened is, another copywriting friend of mine, he said, Dan, you're charging too low. Let's double your price. I doubled my price to $4,000 per letter.
Uh-huh.
Didn't affect a thing. Didn't affect anything.
Except your income.
Except my income. Guess what happened to my margin? I just increased my profits by 50%.
Exactly.
50%.
Beautiful.
I didn't get any new customers. Didn't do. I mean, nothing. Just double the price. I mean, especially service business.
Yeah.
Service business. What entitles you to raise the price is to provide the value. For my clients, if say they pay me to them, my letter, let's say I write you a letter, Terry, you pay me $2,000 or $4,000 or whatever.
Okay.
If the letter makes you $50,000, do you really care if you pay me two or four? I mean,
exactly. It's such a small.
What's the difference, right? Yeah. I mean, some clients even tell me, I've been waiting for you to raise the price. I think you should raise the price.
Wow. Well, you should have told me that sooner. You could tell them.
Yeah, I mean, so just raise your price, and bottom line is test it, see what happens. Say if you're getting 100 sales a month, if you raise your price, you get less sales but more profits. You do the math.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you make more money, you get. It's not quantities. It's all numbers. It's how much money you make.
Exactly. So if you're doing less work and making more money, that's
I mean, if you sell less package and make more money, go ahead.
That's kind of neat because you've also you kind of touched on something now because we talked about your quick turn marketing website.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've also mentioned great copywriters website.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So have you developed multiple streams of income then?
Absolutely. Now, you know, funny. Yes, Terry. Very often when I consult with a client, I'll ask, what do you do currently to market your company? What do you do currently to market a company? And they'll say stuff like, oh, Dan, we are running this full-page ad in this newspaper, or we are doing this wonderful direct mail campaign, or we're doing a lot of broadcast fax. I mean, years ago, we would see a lot of faxing before faxing became illegal in the States. It's still legal in Canada.
And you cannot fax ads in the States anymore.
Yeah, you cannot fax.
Okay.
I mean, like it's like a spam, right?
Right.
You can't
okay.
spam people. But Canada is still legal, my friend.
Oh well, there you go.
Still legal, man. In fact, I'm doing a fax campaign next week for one of my Tip of the Month programs. But anyway, so faxing is a really good example. I know a lot of entrepreneurs who in the States who really depend on faxing. And if that's the only marketing media that drives their business, now when faxing became illegal, they could no longer market through that medium.
Right.
They're screwed. So multiple streams of revenue simply means, you know, you should develop multiple streams of revenue in your business, and you should have multiple means of generating revenue. I'll say it again. You should develop multiple streams of revenue in your business, or you should have multiple means of generating revenue. Now, that could be you have multiple businesses. That could mean you have multiple mediums of generating business. that could also mean you have multiple products we talked about in different price points.
Uh-huh.
That could also mean you have the same product, but you sell it to different multiple niche markets.
Okay. Right.
The bottom line, the key here is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, for internet marketers, for a lot of internet marketers, I mean, who currently do their business primarily on the web.
Uh-huh.
Now, think about it. You know, I think you've heard of the STEM Act, and the government start, create all these regulations and for the spam email. It's getting tougher. It's getting tougher and tougher to market through email.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, if your business is 100% dependent on emails, I mean, just knock on wood, if one day the government just goes crazy and they say, oh, no more email.
Yep.
You cannot email anymore, period. So what the heck are you going to do?
And then your business is dead.
It's dead. It is dead. Now, that's why it's dangerous. It's dangerous to only market through just only one medium. You need to have a plan B. Now, but if you're an internet marketer and you also get your list together, you capture their names plus the physical addresses. That's what I do. Okay, if anything happens to my computer, knock on wood, I'm still fine. I still have my customers with me.
And you still have a method of contacting them.
I mean, take away everything I have, just leave me with my knowledge, experience, and my customer base. I can make it back within 90 days.
In 90 days?
In 90 days. You just give me my customers and my knowledge. That's all I need. Terry, my personal computer just crashed 2 months ago. 2 months ago.
Ouch.
And I lost all the data.
Oh, no.
All the data. It happens. It'll happen anytime. You just don't know. It's like the Murphy's Law, right? Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Anything that we... What's the law again?
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Something
Murphy,
like that.
Yeah, Murphy will pay a visit to your business. Trust me. just take my word. Trust me. You need a plan B. So try to develop multiple streams of revenue in your business. And try to have multiple means of generating revenue.
Okay. So then, a good example of an internet business is exactly what you said. You could have physically just one product,
yep.
But as long as you're marketing through email, through joint ventures, through calling people, through faxing people, through
yep.
sending postcards, that would be.
I mean, good example. If anything, say you're doing all these stuff. If anything, any of your medium, if anything screw up, knock on wood, you're still okay,
right,
because
right.
you have five or six ways of generating business. If you only use postcard marketing or whatever,
yeah.
if anything happens, then okay, all I can do. That's why you need to do everything. In fact, so far, what I've found is the best way to generate traffic for a website
mm-hmm.
is through offline marketing, not online marketing. Offline marketing.
Oh, really? And how? Which method of offline marketing are you using?
Oh, you got it. That's really my secret here. okay. I don't know if I can reveal that. Now, what the heck are we doing? Okay, a lot. That is really my secret, man. For websites and stuff, a lot of people, they do, search engines and, a lot of my friends, they spend a ton of time on search engines, right?
Uh-huh.
And they try to get on top ranking and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I do all that stuff myself.
Uh-huh.
All the offline stuff everybody does, I do it. But what I also do is I speak
uh-huh.
to different associations to promote my services and my stuff.
Right.
Okay. Now, speaking, guess what? Let's say when I speak to 100 people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. These are all qualified prospects.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
All qualified prospects. And guess what I'll do? I don't just speak and go home. No, 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 no. I don't do that. I speak and I give, well, often what I do is I give them a free gift.
Okay.
Okay. But guess what? Sometimes I give them a free trial offer of one of my Tip of the Month program, Wizard Talk. So what I did is I said, I'll give you 3 months for free.
All right.
Guess what? They have to give me their name, email, and address.
Ah, beautiful.
Okay, I mean, that's 100 qualified prospects right there. How long it take you to generate 100 qualified prospects
exactly.
on the internet? I mean, it's tough. And I mean, unless you're one of the big gurus, I mean, it's tough. It's tough.
That's true.
Through speaking, I'm also testing running ads in magazines. I cannot reveal which magazines because I don't want, you know, our listeners to compete with me.
Right, yeah.
So, but in magazines, uh-huh. I'm testing magazines.
Okay.
I'm doing, like I said, broadcast facts.
Uh-huh.
Still legal in Canada, so might as well do them.
Yeah, until it gets shut down, too.
Yeah, yeah, before it gets shut down, too. And the cost is very little, right?
Right, yeah.
Broadcast facts, very little. I also do a little bit of direct mail, and I also do a lot of joint ventures offline.
Okay.
Not online joint, offline joint ventures. Through direct mail for one of my products and then plug my websites as well. So you need to think outside the box.
Right.
Okay. What you want, think of it this way. The more ways you have to generate traffic for your website, to drive people to your website, the better.
Right.
Just the better. I mean, you get 5 here, you get 10 there, you get 50 here, and, I mean, it adds up very quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So those are secrets.
Now the secret's out.
Out.
You mentioned something.
I'm exposed.
You're exposed. Now everybody's going to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned something there about magazine ads.
Uh-huh.
How do you go about creating an effective magazine ad? Because there's so many magazines, there's so many ads in each magazine. How do you make yours stand out?
Okay. For magazine ads, what I'll do is, let's turn the question around.
Okay.
Let me ask you, Terry. When you read magazines?
Yeah.
What's your hobby? What kind of magazines do you read?
I like...
Don't tell me Playboy, okay?
Okay, so I don't read magazines now. No, I'm very much into computers, online
okay.
business, and,
online
and marketing.
Business.
Yeah.
Okay, so business opportunity magazines or
yep.
computer magazines and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Okay, when you buy a magazine, what do you read?
I'll usually look through the headlines, and if the headlines are interesting on the front cover, then I'll buy the magazine.
Yeah, and then when you read through the magazine, you buy the magazine, you read it. What kind of stuff do you read? Articles, right?
Yeah.
Articles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you sometimes look for ads and stuff?
Because I'm in marketing, I'll if something catches my eye, then I'll read it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. But most people, they mainly buy the magazine because of the article.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, so when you create an ad, guess what you want to do? Make it look like an article.
Now, I was going to say that.
Yeah, editorial works.
Right.
Editorial. Yep. That's why I don't use fancy graphics and colorful pictures. No, make it, some magazines, they have regulations and rules, right?
Yeah.
You cannot make it. But make it as close as you can. Use the same font, same size, everything the same. You pretty much want to confuse the readers. This is one of the articles. The
yep.
magazine is endorsing this stuff. The magazine is writing a kind of like a rave review about this guy or this product or this service. And then at the end, then you have your little plug. You can have a coupon, you can ask them to, call you or go to your website, whatever.
Right, yeah.
That's how you want to do it.
So
make a look at an article.